Could you turn with me to Acts chapter 7? Acts chapter 7, just to introduce what I have in my heart. As Stephen tells this story, and he says in verse 9, the patriarchs moved with envy sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. When Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first, and at the second time Joseph was made known unto his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Sychem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, father of Sychem. When the time of the promise drew nigh, which God sware unto Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. Two phrases in this portion, the 9th verse, but God was with him, and the end of the 11th verse, our fathers found no sustenance. Now turn with me to the Psalms, Psalm 105. 105th Psalm, in the 16th verse. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread, and he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. I have in my heart this afternoon to look in the book of Genesis at 7 times that Joseph weeps. 7 times that Joseph weeps. It's been a touching subject to my own heart. I don't know if there's any of us here who haven't been touched by the story of Joseph. I've never taken it up in this setting, but I thought we might look at those 7 times that Joseph weeps. So let's turn back now to Genesis. The first time that we find it is in Genesis chapter 42. Just to touch a little onto the history that went before this. We all know the story well, so we don't have to read the verses, but we know that Joseph, at 17 years old, we find him, and he goes to seek his brethren in the 37th chapter. And we find that his brethren, they hated him without a cause. And they take Joseph and they throw him in the pit. And as we mentioned this morning, afterwards, they took a kid of the goats and they slew it. They dipped the coat in the blood. And they went to their father and they fabricated this story. And they said, is this your son's coat? Yes. This was Joseph's coat. And they deceived their father. What a horrible thing it was for Jacob to go through that thought process. As later on in his life he reflected on this situation, I'm sure he thought, that's just been like me and the deception of my own heart. But we find that Joseph is taken to Egypt. And as we read the account in Acts, we find that Stephen says that God was with Joseph. Now everything that Joseph put his hand to just worked marvelously. Potiphar looked at it and everything he put into Joseph's hand he did in such a marvelous way that pretty soon Joseph was over all his house. And then that situation comes with his wife, and it would have been such a discouragement to Joseph to go through that trial and to be taken and thrown into prison wrongfully. But then to in the prison to do everything with the Lord so that pretty soon everything in prison was given into his hands. Because he did it so well. The Lord was with him. We find that he's taken out of prison after the dreams of the butler and the baker, which we may touch on a little later. And then the dreams of Pharaoh. And then finally, Joseph is exalted in Egypt as Lord over all the land. Only Pharaoh was above him. And here in this chapter, it says, let's turn to the few verses in the last verses of the 41st chapter, the 53rd verse. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren. He said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. What a moment in the history of Joseph. What a moment. Here he is, 21 long years after he was taken out of that pit, and he last laid his eyes on his brethren. And a little bit longer than that since he has seen his father. And in Joseph's wisdom, he has been set over all the land of Egypt, and he has worked diligently to gather in corn. And he knows that the famine is not just in the land of Egypt, but it's throughout the land. And the people from other lands are coming to buy corn. And oh, how he must have watched those lines. How much he would have watched those lines so carefully. And at last, he looks, and Joseph saw his brethren. What a moment. 21 years. And he knew them. But he made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly to them, and said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Behold, the youngest is this day with our father. Oh, what a moment this was for him to hear that his younger brother, whom he didn't see there, was alive. And he says, The youngest is this day with our father, the one is not. Ah, not only is his younger brother alive, but his dad's alive. Go through the thought process here after so many years. What a wonderful thing this was for Joseph as he first lays eyes on his brethren. Behold, the youngest is this day with our father, one is not. And Joseph said unto them, This is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby shall ye be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother. Ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you or else. By the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together in ward 3 days, and Joseph said unto them the third day, Now here's a test for the brothers. Joseph has proved for these 21 years that the Lord was sufficient for his soul. And so he tests his brethren, because never once up to this point in the Word of God do we ever read any thought or word of any of the brothers in connection with the Lord. Never once. 37th chapter is taken up with the brothers. Joseph brings the evil report of the two concubines to his father Jacob. There's no mention of God. The 34th chapter, you go through the whole chapter, it's devoted to Simeon and Levi and all that transpires there in connection with Shechem. And as Jacob could march away from Shechem in the 35th chapter, he says to his boys, "Ye have made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land." No mention of God whatsoever from any of the 10 brothers. Never once. A whole chapter devoted, the 38th chapter, to Judah. Not one mention whatsoever of the word God coming from Judah's mouth. That whole chapter. Never once do we have recorded that there's been any tenderness towards the Lord that Joseph has ever heard from his 10 brothers. And so he says here, "Joseph said unto them in the third day, This do and live, for I fear God." What a strange thing for those boys to hear in the land of Egypt, those words. "I fear God." A godless nation. And here they come, they've heard that from their father, but they come all this way. And they stand before the Lord of Egypt, and they hear a man say, "I fear God." Strange words to hear in the land of Egypt. "This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. And go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die." And they did so. And they said one to another, I believe it's these next three verses that cause Joseph to weep for the first time. And they said one to another, "We are verily concerning our brother." Notice, you can just picture Joseph listening. He's been speaking through an interpreter, but he understands fully. And so he's listening very closely to hear. After just having said, "I fear God," as to what they're going to have to say. "We are verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us." He knows that they're speaking about him. "And we would not hear, therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter, and he turned himself about from them and wept. You know, to have gone through those years of such extremity in his own soul, and to realize the sufficiency of God, year after year, trial after trial, you know, we read, "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. But afterward it worketh the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby." And Joseph had proved that. And now he listens. And you know, the first thing he hears is they bring up that situation which is on their conscience, the guilt of it. And to realize that there's no owning of the claims of God on their hearts. Oh, what a blow it would have been. Such joy to his heart to realize that his younger brother was alive. And such joy to realize that they were alive and that his father Jacob was alive. But he sees no evidence whatsoever that there was a working of God in their hearts. And he turns from them and he weeps. Oh, what a moment this was in Joseph's life. Joseph commands to fill their sacks with corn, to restore every man his money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way, and thus he did. He laded their asses with corn and departed thence. You know, the first awakening we find of these boys is in the next few verses, when it says in the 27th verse, "One of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, and he espied his money. For behold, it was in the sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is returned, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, "What is this that God hath done unto us?" First time ever recorded. Any tenderness, any owning that God was in the picture. And it's in connection with their guilt. And they say, "What is this that God has done unto us?" But it's not said to anybody else. It's only said to themselves. Now let's go to, let's continue on. 29th verse. "And they came to Jacob their father into the land of Canaan and told them all that befell them, saying, 'The man who is lord of the land spake roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone, and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, that ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me ye have bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away, and all these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief shall befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave.'" Now, I want to go to the 43rd chapter now. And we'll start from the 26th verse. It's pretty hard to go through this story without reading the whole story. But we don't have the time. So we're gonna start from the 26th verse here. It says, "When Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and they bowed themselves to the earth, and he asked them of their welfare, and said, Is your father well, the old man of whom he spake? Is he yet alive? And they answered, Thy servant our father is in good health, he is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom he spake unto me?" Such a question he should ask. "And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber, and he wept there." You know, Joseph weeps here. And there's a particular reason why he's found weeping here. Because he lays his eyes on his younger brother, Benjamin. And we've all heard time and time again of how Joseph set the same scene as he did it, as there was at Dothan, where there was a father, there was 10 brothers, and there was a boy. And the boy was cast into the pit. And the brothers, they couldn't care less about their father, and they couldn't care less about their younger brother. And so, in a sense, Joseph, he lays the same scene. He's wanting to see if there was an appreciation for Jacob, their father, and an appreciation for their younger brother, Benjamin. But the reason why Joseph weeps here is because Joseph set an extreme test for his father, Jacob. And when he laid eyes on his brother Benjamin, he knew what it had cost Jacob for Joseph to be able to lay eyes on his younger brother Benjamin. What a tremendous cost that was for Jacob. And Jacob, in his matchless wisdom, he knew the connivings of his father's heart. He knew as a younger brother that he was the favorite, and that had no place in a family of the people of God. He knew that. And when he saw his 10 brothers earlier, as we read about, and he saw that Benjamin wasn't there, he knew that there was still that situation in his father's heart that the Lord had to deal with. And so he says to his brother, "You're not going to see my face again unless I see your younger brother." And that was for the express purpose of Jacob. You know, If we go back now in this portion, we read about Reuben and how Reuben said to Jacob, you know, I'll take the boy with me. And incidentally, the boy had at least 8 children and probably 10 at this time. Benjamin had at least 8 children and likely 10. And Reuben says to Jacob, his father, send the boy with me, and if I don't bring him back to me, you can slay my 2 sons. You know, what kind of a comfort would that have been to a grandfather to have his 2 sons slain? None whatsoever. But we find Judah spake in the 3rd verse of the 43rd chapter, and Judah spake unto him, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And the 9th verse he says, I will be surety for him. My hand shalt thou require of him. I will bring him not, if I bring him not unto thee, then set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. Except we lingered. Surely now we had returned this second time. And so now here we find in the 11th verse, this is the test that Joseph in his wisdom was putting his dad through. And so he says, so here in the 11th verse it says, their father said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels. They didn't want to hear about taking any best fruits. And carry the man down a present. They didn't want to hear about carrying the man down a present. Take a little balm. Take a little honey. They didn't want to hear about that. They knew that that wasn't going to do the trick. Spices and myrrh and nuts and almonds. Dad, that's not going to work. That's not what the man wants. And take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure was an oversight. You know, you could just see the boys just standing with their hands in their pockets and shaking their heads and thinking, that's not going to work, Dad. That's not what they want. And then the time in Jacob's life where we find that Jacob comes to the bottom. And that's what the Lord's desire is for every one of us, that we would come to the end of ourselves. The time in Jacob's life where that happens is right here in this chapter. And we find that in the 14th verse, the 13th verse, he says, take also your brother and arise and go unto the man. You know, the boys, the men, they could probably hardly believe their ears because they know how much Joseph had meant to Jacob. And now they know how much Benjamin meant to Jacob, and they knew what was on the line here. And to hear Jacob say these words, take your brother and arise and go unto the man. And then to see this next phrase, oh, such a comfort to my heart. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man. Jacob comes to the point in his life where he realizes he can't do anything anymore about conniving to get his own way and his own will. And he says, God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. You know, we had brought before us this morning, Neil mentioned Jacob leaning upon the top of his staff, worshiping. We find that in Hebrews 11. We find here in this portion that Jacob finally comes to that point where the arm of the flesh is not going to work here. It seems to have worked in every other time in Jacob's life. You know, didn't matter what he did, what he put his hand to, if he could work the angles a little bit, he would try. And we see that history all the way up to this point. And we find that there's 21 years that's veiled from us as to what the Lord has wrought with Jacob. When we come to this portion, we realize that there's still that situation. And he comes to this point finally, and he says, take Benjamin. And he says, God Almighty, give you mercy before the man. And when Joseph lays eyes on his 10 brothers, again, he's looking. Imagine looking the lines over and just wondering when those boys are going to show up. And at last they show up. And there's not 10 of them. There's 11. Oh, what this meant to his soul. And to look at his younger brother Benjamin, and it says, and he entered into his chamber and he wept there. He knew what it had cost his father. He knew the tremendous cost that it had been to Jacob to let Benjamin go down to Egypt. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. The last verse of that chapter, and he took and sent messes unto them from before him. Now he's used Benjamin as a test for his father. Now he uses Benjamin as a test for the brothers. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him, and Benjamin's mess was 5 times as much as any of the others. Now, why did he do that? He knew that the brothers were jealous of him because Jacob loved him more than the brothers. And he knew that that was the same case with Benjamin, and he wants to see if that jealousy is still there. So he's just going to add, as the world would say, insult to injury. He knows that happens in the next chapter. The sacks are filled with food. The silver cup is very carefully taken and put into Benjamin's sack, and away they go. And as soon as they're gone, it says, "And Joseph said unto the steward," in the fourth verse, "Up, follow after the man, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this that is in it which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." The sixth verse, "He overtook them and spake unto them these same words, and they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing." Now, this is the first recording now of them mentioning anything of the Lord outside of themselves, and it goes to the stewards here. I'm sure that was passed on to Joseph. It's veiled from us as to what is said. But we find there that they each open their sacks, they go through all the sacks, they come to the youngest, and they open his sack, Benjamin, and lo and behold, the 12th verse, "He searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laid it every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, and he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? Now, in the 45th chapter, and the first two verses, it says, "And Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud." Now, the reason he weeps aloud in the 45th chapter is because of what he hears in the speech of Judah. And so we go back to the 16th verse, and Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." Oh, that was music to Joseph's ears. To see in his brethren a repentant heart. Oh, how that would have touched Joseph's heart. To know the history of his brethren, to know the history of Simeon and Levi, to know the history of Judah, who's now the spokesman. And to hear these words, "God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are thy Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so." Notice now again the wisdom of Joseph. "I'm not going to keep you all servants, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. As for you, get you up in peace unto your father." And oh, Judah now pours out his heart, and he came near unto him and said, "Oh, my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. Let not thine anger burn against thy servant. Thou art even as Pharaoh. And my Lord asked his servant, saying, you have a father or a brother? And we said, my Lord, we have a father, an old man, a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father. If he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father." Notice the tenderness in which he's speaking about his father, Jacob. At that time, when he was at the pit, he could say, let's not kill Joseph. Let's try to make a little money off him and we'll sell him. And now, it's thy servant, my father. We told him the words of my Lord, the 25th verse. And our father said, go again, buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare me 2 sons. The one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not again, not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave, for thy servant. Oh, notice the lowliness here. You know, this is the hyssop we're speaking of in the previous meeting. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? And Joseph could not refrain himself before them all that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, oh, what a moment was this! What a moment! You know, up to this point, Joseph has been speaking to his brothers through an interpreter. And I mentioned earlier what a strange thing for the brothers to come to Egypt and to hear a man say, hear this, for I fear God and live. And now to hear this, in perfect Hebrew, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? The words can't describe this moment. They can't. Here's the brothers. They've gone through this whole scenario with this Lord, and all of a sudden, it's Joseph. You know, maybe they'd come and maybe they'd looked around at the slaves as they came into Egypt and wondered, you know, is there someone that looks like Joseph? And they'd gone through this whole scenario, and now they're standing here. And Joseph says, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And so when he sees the repentance of their hearts, he weeps. Now, we'll go to the fourth time that Joseph weeps. 45th chapter. The 10th verse, thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen now, shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, my children's children, thy flocks, thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee, for there are yet 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Behold, your eyes see that the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh with you, and ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, that ye may shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell. Notice now, here's our subject, the fourth time out of the seven times that Joseph weeps. He fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. Well, here we find Joseph weeps. And the reason that he weeps here is because he reflects. He's reflected on all that it cost his father in sending Benjamin. He's seen the repentance that's manifested in the heart of his brethren. But now he goes through and he reflects in his own heart the workings of the Lord in his own circumstances. And he weeps. And I say that because let's turn back now to the 40th chapter. This is where the butler and the baker, they tell their dreams. And Joseph, he tells the dream to the butler, and he tells the dream to the baker. And then we find a weakness here now in Joseph's life, where he seeks to rely on the arm of the flesh. We had before us this morning a little bit about the staff. And it was, the comments were made of, about many brethren made the comment as the staff being that picture of dependence. We spoke a little bit about David and how there was a time in his life where he relinquished that staff and he wanted the sword of Goliath. And we see that same thing here in Joseph's life. Where here Joseph, his desire now is to reach out with the arm of the flesh. And so we find that he tells the dreams to both the butler and the baker. And then it says in the 14th verse, and now notice how many times Joseph refers to himself in these next couple of verses. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. He's in a hard circumstance here. And he wants out. But his focus is on himself. And so he says here at the end of the portion, at the end of the 14th verse rather, make mention of me unto Pharaoh and bring me out of this house, for I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. And I, you know, I tried to picture the next little while as the two servants go out. In the 20th verse it says, it came to pass that the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. You know, Joseph here, I'm sure the next day, he was listening to hear if there was any footsteps that were coming to the prison. You know, I'm going to get out of here at last. And, you know, it doesn't happen. And every time someone comes to the prison, oh, he perhaps thinks, you know, maybe there's going to be a word come and I'm going to be set free. And a couple days goes on and he sort of wonders, you know, I wonder if this man has really relayed that message to Pharaoh. And a week goes by, and 2 weeks goes by, and a month goes by, and then he realizes, oh, it's not going to happen. You know, I believe that when the Lord heard that little discourse as to Joseph seeking to reach and to hang on to the arm of the flesh, that the Lord says, you know, Joseph, you need 2 more years in this prison. 2 more years. And I believe that this is where Joseph came to the bottom of himself. We've had Jacob coming to the bottom of himself. We've seen Judah and how he pours out his heart to first of all Jacob and now to Joseph. And it's obvious he's at the bottom. And this is the point when we find that Joseph comes to the bottom of himself. You know, I've so appreciated the thought of repentance, because if we were to look at the 41st chapter now, we see a true picture of what we had this morning in connection with the hyssop. We find a man here. It says, the 41st chapter, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow, and behold, 7 other kine, and so on. And he, the 5th verse, he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn. And the 8th verse, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret unto them. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh. Now, you know, if you could go to that scene in that room, whatever it was, and who all was there, you could hear the butler listening to this story. And if it had been me, I'd have put up my hand and said, I know someone that can tell the dream. But that's not what the butler does. And what we have here is true repentance. Because what the butler says is not, I know someone that can tell the dream. The butler says unto Pharaoh, saying, the 9th verse, I do remember my faults this day. He doesn't stop there. He doesn't go on and say, and I know someone that can tell the dream. He said, I remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants. He put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. We dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. He goes through the whole scenario. And then he says, there's someone that can tell the dream. You know, a beautiful picture. Joseph reflects on all this. He reflects on his time. Now as Lord of all Egypt, and he reflects on it all. And Joseph weeps in the 45th chapter and the 14th verse. Fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck. You know, if you go back to the 7th verse of that chapter, we went through the little speech that Joseph gave to the butler, where he was the focus of that whole speech. But now notice, it's the same speech, but now notice where the focus is. The 7th verse. The 5th verse, rather. Be not therefore grieved or angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. These 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth, to save your souls by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Haste ye, go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. And we find that Joseph weeps. Now, He sends them away. He knows all that's going to transpire. He knows they have to go to their dad, and they have to say, "Well, Dad, we deceived you. We took Joseph's coat. We dipped it in the blood. We held it up to you. We fabricated this story." He knows the whole scenario. But he sends them away. Mr. Darby translates the end of the 24th verse. "So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye do not quarrel by the way." Turn with me to the 46th chapter and the 28th verse. It's interesting, in this chapter we have a list of the brothers. We have 12 times the list of the 12 sons of Joseph in the Word of God, each time a different order. We have an order here. We don't have time to look at that. But it says the 28th verse, speaking about Jacob, "He sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face to Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen. And he presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while." The fifth time now that Joseph weeps. Five times he's wept. Joseph made ready his chariot. He goes to meet his father. Oh, what a moment this was. He's laid eyes on the brothers. He's laid eyes on his younger brother Benjamin. And now he lays eyes on his father. And it says he fell on his neck. And he wept on his neck a good while. You know, I believe because he knew in his soul the way that the Lord had worked in his heart. You know, if we were to turn to the end of the previous chapter, the 45th chapter, when the boys, they come to Jacob and they tell him the whole story, and, you know, he doesn't believe them at first. And he looks out and he sees the wagons. And it says, the 27th verse, "They told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." You know, in Jacob's life, there had never been enough of anything. Never been enough cows, never been enough cattle, never been enough goats or sheep, never been enough wives, never been enough. The Lord had said that he could, that all the land was his, but that wasn't enough. He had to go buy some. There was never enough of anything. Now at this point, there's enough. Jacob finally says, "It is enough. I will go and see Joseph before I die." And so, here in our chapter, the 46th chapter, Joseph reflects on all that the Lord had brought Jacob along, and there's not even any discussion. He just falls on his father's neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. Now, let's go. I wish we could go through the next couple of chapters, but we can't. Let's go now to the 50th chapter. The end of the 49th chapter, where we find the blessings of the 12 sons, and what a chapter that is. 33rd verse, "When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. And Joseph fell upon his father's face, and he wept upon him, and he kissed him." You know, this was quite a time. 17 years later, as Joseph looks on the dead form of his father, and thousands of memories gone through. "I stood by the casket of my mother." How many memories went through? All those characteristics of the character that brought me into such blessing. And Joseph, he goes through this at this point. Just think of him going through the, you know, it mentions in, we're sometimes hard on Jacob, but Jacob had tremendous character in different ways. Just to mention one, if we were to go to the book of Malachi, the first chapter, we find a little phrase that says, "Jacob have I loved." And if we were to go to Romans, the 9th chapter, we find it's reversed. It's the same phrase, but it says, "I have loved Jacob. And I just thought of the Lord looking down at Jacob and appreciating a character where Jacob was concerned so much that he makes this remark, "I love Jacob. Jacob have I loved." If you can think in your mind of Jacob and how he worked 7 years for Rachel, and he got married to Rachel on that night, and he woke up in the morning and it wasn't Rachel. You know, I can't conceive that situation. It's beyond my mind to wake up in the morning and find that you've married the wrong person. You know, at that point, many of us here would have said, "That's it, I'm gone." But not Jacob. His love for Rachel was so strong that he says, "I'll work another 7 years. I want Rachel." That love was so strong, the Lord could look down and say, "I love Jacob. Jacob have I loved." You know, Joseph, he goes through all those characteristics at this time when his father's head is bowed in death and he weeps. You know, he remembers that time when there was a wrestling match. And if we were to turn back to the portion when it says that Jacob wrestled, it doesn't say that Jacob wrestled with a man, but it says a man wrestled with Jacob. What a time that was in Jacob's life. How many of us here have come to that point in our life when the Lord has wrestled with us? And what was the outcome? You know, I look here over this audience and there's some old men here. They're princes of God. Princes of God. And why is it? Because the Lord has wrought with them. The Lord has wrestled with them. And they're indeed princes of God. And Joseph now, as he looks down at his father, having passed away from the scene, oh, what a loss it was to his heart to realize that a prince of God and a prince with God was now with God. And so, here in the 50th chapter and the first verse, Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept. Our time is gone. We'll finish by that clock. The 15th verse of the 50th chapter. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." Oh, what a blow this was to Joseph. After all that Joseph had done, to think of how he had gathered that corn for those 7 years, knowing that there was going to be a famine in the land. As we had in the book of Acts, there was no nourishment for the people of God. And Joseph knew that. And so he brought in this nourishment, I believe for the express purpose that his father and his father's house would have bread to eat. And he gathered it up, and when they came, he made sure they had lots of food. And he sent them away, and he sent their money away. He did everything he possibly could for them. He sent wagons to bring them down. His heart was so manifest. And after expressing that and giving them the best of the land of Egypt and living years and giving them the best for years and years, they come to him with this fabricated story. Our father said, when he died, that you really should forgive us. You know, Joseph weeps. Joseph weeps here, and Joseph wept when he spake unto them. His brethren went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." You know, we think of the Lord and how he wept over Jerusalem. "How often would I have gathered these? A hen doth gather her chicks under her wings." He said, "You would not." Think of at the grave of Lazarus, and he weeps. And to think, brethren, of how he's brought us thus far along the pathway, year after year, where our own will has been manifest time and time again, and he brings us into such blessing, and we go our own way again, and he brings us into such blessing, and we go away again, time after time. Does he react in the same way that Joseph reacts here? Where his brethren, they came to him, they said, they had no understanding of his heart of love. Does the Lord look down and realize in my heart, I just don't understand his heart of love? And here, Joseph,
there's only one recourse for him. It says Joseph wept. He had nothing to say. He just weeps. After all that he could possibly do for his brethren. And they come up with this. You know, the little hymn puts it so nicely in the 85th hymn, well knowing we should ever be so cold, so negligent of thee. What a wonderful thing, though, to realize that blessed one, although he may weep, his love is unchanged. He looked down at Jacob, he saw those characteristics, and his love toward us is the same. It hasn't changed. What a wonderful thing to realize that blessed one and his love for us.